Thank you, Bobby. It was good, guys.
Good evening, everyone. You probably don't know me so well. My name is Andrew East. You probably know my wife, Liz, a little better than me. She's sitting there. But it's good to be here. We're part of the Western Hub, which is from Milnerton up to Hazelfontein, and we're ministering into all those, well, being part of, not ministering necessarily, being part of all of those congregations of Josh Jen. We've been here about 6 years now. We love Cape Town. We're getting used to the rain, but it's not so cold as Joburg. So we're in a blessed place, and people love coming, don't they, the Americans? We love having them, we do. Didn't you love last week's message from Mervis, all about Jesus? In fact, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, will you come and open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes to something fresh this evening? We want to see Jesus in a new way. We want Jesus to be revealed. Holy Spirit, will you do that for us tonight, we ask? Will you reveal Jesus to us as perhaps we've not seen him before? We've read about him. We think we may know him. But will you reveal Jesus to us tonight? Mervis was saying, doing life from Jesus, through Jesus, in Jesus, and for Jesus. Do you remember that? How has your life been this week? Has it been through Jesus, in Jesus, for Jesus? I hope so. He also said this, Jesus is the author, the perfecter, the sustainer, the promise, the substance, the filler, the life giver, the truth, the glory of the Christian life. Remember? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, he quoted, Jesus, the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I.e., the core of the gospel is to know him, the glory of Christ, the image of the Father. It's a bit creaky here. I spoke to Jacques after the meeting, and I just said, it would be great to carry on the theme of Jesus. I mean, he's not a theme, is he? The person of, the nature of, the character of Jesus. So that's what I want to do tonight. And I'm actually going to do it a bit differently. But before we start, I just want Margot and Jeanette to come up. We were praying earlier, and they just had two things which I thought would help us get ready. So, Margot. Those of us who need specs need to arm ourselves.
We have to see clearly. When Jesus came to the region, I'm reading out of Matthew, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he said? Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Who do I say he is? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, the other night I had a dream. And in this dream, Jesus was talking to me. And he was sort of looking at me like this. And going, it's not about the book. Because many read books that don't know the authors. It's not about the teacher. Because many are taught and don't know them personally. It's not about speaking to me, because you speak to many and might not know the person well and intimately. It's not about listening, because how many people do you listen to and not know them? I felt him saying to us as a congregation, I want you to know me. All these things are aspects, but they are nothing without me, that personal presence and that sense of he wants me. He wants you. And he wants our presence. And all of the other things are just indicators of a healthy relationship.
Thank you both. So as I said, I'm going to do things a little bit differently tonight. How many of you have got your Bibles with you? I gather you've been encouraged to bring your Bibles along. I re-encourage you, I exhort you to bring your Bibles. But it will be up on the screen as well. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, it says this. The Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy to do the following. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, but that's preaching, and to teaching. We do a lot of preaching and teaching, don't we? But how much public reading of Scripture do we do? So, guess what? That's where we're going tonight. I'm going to publicly read Scripture, and there'll be parts later on that I want you to join me. But this is what Jesus used to do as he was growing up in the temple. He'd pull out some scrolls from the Torah, and we see a couple of examples where he'd just read out Scripture. He read out from Isaiah, and he just sat down. There was no need for teaching or preaching. The word spoke for itself. So, I'm going to be reading some chunks of Scripture tonight, and we're going to be looking at the Messiah foretold, Jesus foretold. Then we're going to be looking at some scriptures around Jesus the man. And then we're going to be looking at some scriptures around Jesus the eternal king. Are you with me? So I just want you to get comfortable. You may want to, I'm going to read, and it's Scripture, pure Scripture, reading out of the ESV. You may want to read along in your Bibles. It's going to be on the screen. You may just want to close your eyes and listen, or lie down on the floor. You do whatever is most comfortable for you, that you can let Scripture penetrate your heart, your mind, your soul this evening, okay? Okay, Jesus foretold, Isaiah chapter 9. The people, starting at verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy, and they rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as one in the day of Midian, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of God to crush him. He was put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, and he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Wow. Wow. Jesus. Over to John, Jesus the man. John chapter 1. Probably my favorite portion of scripture. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God. Wow. Let's just pause here a second. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he who, of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." John chapter 14. You doing all right? More than. Good on you. John chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "Thomas, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the words themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Just read that again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let's go from here. Okay, Revelations. Jesus, the eternal King. Okay, so there's some sections here, and I'll prompt you as we go along. But when there's a response by everyone in heaven, I want us to join in. Can we do that? So I'll prompt you. You'll get the hang of it. There's a couple of sections here in chapter 4, and then there's a few in chapter 5 as well. Jesus the Lamb and the Eternal King. It says in Revelation chapter 1, it's not going to come up, but blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Are we ready? Okay, Revelation chapter 4. It's entitled The Throne in Heaven. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit. Sorry, this is the Apostle John, one of the disciples. He was on the island of Patmos, and this was his vision whilst there. Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And heaven, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang in a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Should we do that again? "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And what did the elders do? Fell down and worshipped. Amen. Jesus, thank you for your word. Word of life. You are the word of life. Eugene, can you come up? There may be Some here have never heard this. You've never encountered this Jesus. Never before. And something in what has been read out tonight, something of the truth of the word is knocking in your heart. In fact, it says, actually in Revelation 3, the chapter before those two that we've just read, it says that Jesus is standing at the door and is knocking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Are you ready to receive him? Are you ready to open that door? Is that you? Will you open it? Will you let him in? This Jesus who was crucified, rose again, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Will you let him into your life? I want to give you opportunity right now, if that's you, to respond. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Just show me. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Some hand. Thank you. For those two, if there's, are there any more? I've got to make this, call. You may not get this opportunity again. Don't know what's going to happen tonight, tomorrow, but right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Will you say yes? Will you? Two hands. Any more? Okay, for those two, I want you to respond right now. I'll lead you in a short prayer, and people will come and find you afterwards and help you understand the decision you've made. But I'm just going to lead you in a short prayer now. So with everyone with your eyes closed, Lord Jesus, you have spoken to me very clearly tonight. Just say it to yourself as I say it. Speak it. I know that you are knocking on the door of my heart, and I want to respond right now and open that door. And I say, Jesus, will you come in? Will you come in and take over my life? I give you my life right now. I was my own person, but now I'm yours. I did my things my way, but I want to do them your way. Because I've seen something of you that deserves my life tonight. Come in right now and take over my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life right now. There may be others of you who already know Jesus, but perhaps have seen him in a fresh way, have seen something of this Jesus that you've not known before, if you've not understood before, you've not seen before. And you realize that there are parts of your life that where he is not your Lord. You may know him as your Savior, but he is not your Lord in some parts of your life. He's knocking on your doors too. He's knocking at the door of your heart as well tonight. Will you give me that part of your life? Will you let me rule in every area? Will you? He's asking the question. He's knocking on the door and asking the question. I think there's quite a few of us here who can probably fall into that category. If that's you, will you be bold enough to come forward? Can we all stand? Just makes it easier. If that's you, will you come forward in response? And I'd like people to come and pray. Part, you're responding to this Jesus, the King. And he wants all of your life. Not half of it, not two-thirds of it, not 99% of it. He wants all of it. If that's you and you want to come and give more, give the rest, will you come forward and we'll get people to pray for you? Thank you. That's bold. I'm sure there's more though. I know there's more. Jacques, Jeanette, can you organize some people to be praying? And whilst we're praying, feel free to come forward. I know there's more. Jesus. Jesus. The rest of you just be praying, please. Keep engaged. Allow God to be speaking to you even in this moment, whatever it is. Has just shared a word about when Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose again. There was an occasion where they were all present except for Thomas. And they went back and they told Thomas, and he didn't believe it. He doubted. That's how he got his name, Doubting Thomas. But Jesus came back just to show Thomas his hands and his feet. Jesus is here, maybe just for you right now. He's here right now. You may have been in many other meetings, but he's here right now for you. You need to respond. If that's you, you need to come forward and respond. Jesus.